Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and apparently the Wi-Fi connection is lit because Mr. Brian E. Roach is here. What's up, Brian?
Yes, it is. That is exactly right. But, you know, I got to tell you, after listening to some of those quotes, that's not how Wi-Fi works.
I don't know that there's a lit, like, I get on and it says, like, usually something like the Wi-Fi. Well, I know you have plenty of issues with this particular cable provider or ISP.
Comcast sucks. They're like the refs, man.
Well, I used to, we'll get to that, too. I used to, Spectrum took over what I used to call Crime Warner, so you can already surmise my opinion of what their services and their customer services were like. So, now that we have bashed probably anybody from the telcos that could possibly ever sponsor the podcast, and they'll also slap out the I don't know, they always got all kind of internet rules and stuff with government. I don't pay attention to these things. They could probably just, you know, we'll probably never be heard from again. So folks, enjoy it while you can. Hey, you know what, there was some defense being played in the NFL this weekend, and there was some defense not being paid. Let's go through a few things here. I had a plan of action here because we were talking about this last week with the number of teams that scored 30 points. This week, New England Patriots 38, Carolina Panthers 33, beating the New York Giants, football Giants as Chris Berman called them. They had 31 points, so there's three teams there for you. Cincinnati just fell short with 27 in their victory. You had the Detroit Lions scoring 31. There's a fourth team. KC scores 30 on the nose against what? Maybe the best defense in the NFL or close to it, the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there's your fifth team scoring 30. The New York Jets score 34. That's a sixth team. And then the LA Rams and Seahawks, 7th and 8th here, 33 to 31. 31 points on the Rams. I thought they were supposed to be a good defense too. And then the ninth team. Now there's teams on bye and whatnot, so you had like a handful of games a handful of teams that didn't play. So you got nine teams, the ninth being the Pittsburgh Steelers with 41 points, not all attributed to the offense, of course, which is also for what makes a happy, glorious day, because the other team did not score 42 or more without going over to the nearest bid.
Yes, that is true. 41 points, a beautiful thing. I think we were actually pretty close in calling that number, that the Steelers might score in the 40s.
58 on the dot. There was no over or under. It was bullseye.
Yeah, dead on. Yeah, bullseye. And we were not expecting what the Atlanta Falcons scored, which was, thankfully, 17 points. So we're celebrating what is a really good victory for the Steelers.
You know what? We did say something. We said first team to 40 is going to win.
Yep.
You remember that? That was good. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? We got a lot of things to brag about here. I mean, that's the first one. The second one is there's some folks who love to, you know, they kind of jump on and they troll us from time to time. I had one that was like typical Steelers homers or Yinzers or whatever they were. Of course, the other team that won, they're not that good. Well, I'll take a tie versus a loss to the Cleveland Browns every day of the week and twice on Sundays. Take that, you Ratbirds fans that want to jump on YouTube and leave your comments.
Yeah,
I love it.
we said it at the beginning of the year, and we said at some point we're going to be right. The Browns are not the same Browns. They are a team that is a much, much improved team, and their defense is no joke. So, you know what? Getting out of Cleveland with a tie in that situation, yeah, it's a hell of a lot better than losing – what was it, 12-9?
Yeah, 12-9 in OT. Cleveland's third overtime game of the season. We're talking more about the Browns than the Steelers, but hold on, folks. We're getting there. We do have points to make here because we're telling everyone not to panic. One of the things we said last week about the Ravens game was that if the Steelers' offense had actually had any semblance of knowing how to play the game of football, 47 yards and like just like under three, what was it, 8 minutes?
Eight minutes and 42 seconds, something like that, yeah.
I keep thinking of that 22-second drive. It's that kind of crap that is the reason you end up losing games the way they did. They held the Ravens. You had to turn over, and they gifted them some field position, and also they four field goals in the second half. And I said, look, the defense, quit saying the defense. You know, Ben starts clicking here. Things are going to be sharp. And then wouldn't you know it, like this game starts out against the Atlanta Falcons. And you have just the stupidity of people on the internet with Ben Roethlisberger throwing an interception during the game. And it's just like, okay, Ben's terrible, blah, blah, blah. He forced it. I get it. But good Lord, can we at least like give the man a little bit of praise today? The Wi-Fi connection, by the way, I think we may have mentioned this on the preview for this game. That was Antonio Brown talking about sometimes the connection's good, sometimes it's not. We're like Wi-Fi, me and Ben Roethlisberger. Well, the Wi-Fi connection was excellent. That was the point we were trying to make. Well, we'll say it was at least what's one of the other things? There's like good. They could just never tell you like, oh, it's 4 out of 5. It's like excellent, it's good, it's poor. It wasn't that today between these two. 13 targets, 6 catches, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns, and I do believe practically all of it in the second half. I think the bees are back in town, at least 2 of them. The other one we still don't know. He may or may not show up, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, look, with Ben, it was definitely a tale of two halves. You know, he was, 17, or 9 of 17 in the first half, or 8 of 17 or something like that in the first half, had a quarterback rating in the 60s. And then the second half came around, and we, you know, of course, you know, Steelers fans probably were a little hesitant about the second half. We haven't scored in a long time in the second half. And that all went to rest because I think Ben was 11 of 12 in the second half, missed one time, one pass, completely turned it around, ends up with a rating of 112.7. He played much better in the second half. He played like Ben that we're used to playing in that second half.
Guess what else happened? What was I talking about with James Conner? A lot of people saying Le'Veon Bell would solve all the woes. This is what I was talking about. I just said the bees back in town except for one. Le'Veon Bell solve all the woes. This is what's really wrong with this offense. Incorrect. I have people asking me about the 2019 draft and what the Steelers are going to get and this and that. Look, the season's not over yet, folks. I think this is a little bit of a turnaround here. The Atlanta Falcons, and I remember me saying this was kind of like we saw the Colts teams that came in and they were supposed to be these high-powered offenses and the Steelers' defense was supposed to be poo-poo, and then all of a sudden it was like nothing like you were supposed to expect. That was essentially the heart of today's game. In the 41-17 final, Falcons, a lot more questions now than the Steelers, at least. They dropped the 1-4. The Steelers 2-2-1. And that is behind James Conner touching the ball. I said he has to touch the ball. Give him 20 carries. I'd like to see 25 touches. 21 attempts, rushing 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. And guess what? Right on the money here. 4 targets, 4 receptions, 75 yards. Grown-ass man.
Absolutely. I think that there may be 3 grown ass man's awards that I want to give out in this particular game.
This is good.
But he gets one of them. There's no question about it. He definitely gets one of them. We've said this all along. Look, this team, it's not that they need to be 50-50. It's not that they need to be balanced that way. But the run game needs to be a part of the offense because that's what makes a lot of the passing game work is the fact that teams have to respect the run. Yes, it was definitely a benefit that Grady, whatever his name is, wasn't there. And the Falcons defense really is about as bad as everybody thought they were. But, you know, the fact that they got Connor involved early, the fact that they pushed the ball, the fact that they had success with it, kept him involved in both the passing and the running attack, helped feed everything else. So, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, he definitely gets a grown-ass man award. And I'm going to give another one out on the offensive side of the ball, and it's going to be because nobody heard his name almost the entire game. And that would be our friend at the left tackle position, one Mr. Alejandro Villanueva, because you're talking about we were a little concerned about this going into the game. You know, fast edge rushers tend to give Big Al problems. Guess what? Not today they didn't. You didn't hear anybody talking about Alejandro Villanueva letting a guy get by or any of those other issues, and Ben had time to analyze what he wanted to do and get the ball down the field. Al, definitely grown-ass man today.
Got to give some props to the defense, too. But the offense, I mean, it was split down the middle here as far as time of possession. The Falcons and Steelers both with the same amount of first downs. At first, you were kind of like, oh, my goodness, is this defense ever going to get off the field? And then you had, like, at one point, you want to talk about the ref stink. So I'm going to jump right to It didn't look as bad as I saw in the replay with the TJ Watt, like, roughing the passer thing. Did he even, like,
worse
breathe on him? Like, seriously, like.
He gave him a slight love tap on the leg.
Oh my goodness. I like now the Bostic one was probably a little more deserved. You know, we're not big fans of the people wearing the skirt type thing, but go run with the ball, my friend.
I gotta tell you, so Bostic was asked about that play, right? And he said
he didn't know what happened. That's right,
he was asked. He said, I was asked what. You know, he was asked, what was it? Did you ask, do you know why you got flagged? And he said, well, I asked the ref, and he said, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if the refs don't know why they're throwing the flags, then what the heck are they throwing the flags for?
Well,
look, I know, I get that they got overly excited early in the game, whenever that was, that it was late in the game, actually. The Falcons got, Falcons guy throws James Conner to the ground, and I think every flag plus a bunch of terrible towels came down. because everybody threw every flag that they had on that. It was so obvious. But, man, when Mike Tomlin at his press conference can come out and say, these calls are a joke. Some of these calls are a joke. They're bad because he's on the competition committee and he knows he's not supposed to be criticizing the ref. He's supposed to be leaving that to us. They stink.
Yeah, and you're like, you know, what you said was – this has happened to me before, and obviously I work with other referees in my other sport and profession and whatnot, and it's a brotherhood to some degree, but at the same point, the best thing you could do sometimes is to just be honest, because, you know, you don't want to sell somebody down the river necessarily, but if another guy's having a bad game, you're not going to just say he's not having a bad game or try and sugarcoat it if he was like your teammate. Well, this happens with officiating too. Guy sees something and you don't see it, maybe a bad angle or it's behind you or that's just not your area of focus or responsibility. And you just got to fess up and be like, I don't know. I don't know what he called. It's like he called that. You're going to have to ask him. You know what I mean? And I could totally sympathize with that. But in a whole other way, it's totally funny because it's like, you know, it almost insinuates that he asked the referee who actually threw the flag, which would be very bad. And I'm just assuming it was not the guy who threw the penalty flag. And I don't know. There wasn't much of a replay on the Bostic thing. It just seemed to be like in like real time or whatever. It was like you see the flag get thrown and you're from a distance and I don't have a great angle of it. You know, everybody in the seats or at home on TV always has the best angle, better than the referees, as you should know. It's one of those things where you want to throw a flag at the TV sometimes. But, you know, I had a prediction on this game. I said they would be penalized 5 penalties or less. It was actually ended up being 7 for 58 for the Steelers, 7 for 75 for the Falcons. A little more cleaner, somewhat smoother. There was like a string there in a second. I want to say it was in the second half at one point where it was like 3 straight flags and it was just like, oh, are we just going to like gift them to go down the field here? You know what I mean? But the Jesse James one kept the Steelers alive on that drive. I believe that may have been – was that the James Conner or was the Juju? It was one of the two. I'm getting them mixed up right now. One of the first two touchdowns of the game. And it kept them going. And for once, the Steelers finally put the pedal to the metal and they were the ones in the driver's seat. with a lead to start the game instead of having to throw the book out the window and, you know, try and, you know, come back from like 14 or 21 nothing down. Yeah. It was great to see for a change.
Yeah, we've said this repeatedly. It's not a team built to play catch-up. Not that they can't play catch-up, but that's not what they're built for. And it's not just from the offensive standpoint. It's from the defensive standpoint as well. This is a team that's designed to get ahead and then pressure. And that's what we saw. And this is the kind of game where the defense can excel and can do what they want to do, because they have a little bit of leeway having a lead, which means they can bring some of the exotic blitz packages. They can send Mike Hilton in. They can cause the quarterback to play uncomfortably. And as Tomlin always says, it's a hand-in-hand kind of a relationship between pass coverage and pressure on the quarterback. When those two things are going, your defense is going to look pretty good. When one of them is off, you're leaving the other one out to dry. They need to work together hand in hand. And this was a perfect example of that type of game. Speaking of which, grown-ass man awards on the defense. You know I got to give one to Cam, because he just about knocked Alec Mack back into another world on his one sack. I'm just grown-ass man bowled him over. So I'm going to give it to him because the award's named after him anyway.
It is. It's the Cameron Hayward Grown-Ass Man Award.
But T.J. Watt, oh, my God. Did he show up today or what? After basically vanishing, he abused the right tackle for the Falcons. Three sacks, a bunch of tackles, strip sack, fumble. Man, he was all over the field.
You know what? I want to go back to something. Wasn't it everyone that was talking about Bud Dupree and having somebody who wasn't much of – competition back in week one against the Cleveland Browns? This was TJ Watt today. I mean, let's be realistic. And he bullied him. He just bullied him. Where do you even begin with that? Three sacks, and they were already talking about on the Sunday Night Football type deal as to what was it? The Pro Football Talk guy, Mike Florio. Florio, is that how you say his name? And he was talking about how he talked with him, and he goes, whether or not his brother, he and his brother JJ have, I guess, a friendly kind of silent competition on getting to the quarterback and getting sacked. So TJ with six already, which is just huge. Artie Burns could have been like, you know, turned his, what do you want to say, reputation, make a complete 180 there, but he dropped the interception, and he had to lay out for it.
That was over the shoulder.
Yeah.
That was a tough pick. That's why he plays defense. Look, somebody wanted to compare him to Ike Taylor. Ike Taylor would not have made that. Ike Taylor wouldn't have even attempted to try and catch that pass. Ike Taylor, you could throw the ball directly at him in a lob and he would drop it. I love Ike. Ike's my guy, you know. But and he was a really good, solid cover corner. He just couldn't catch. That's a tough catch for anybody over the shoulder that way, laying out for it. I'm not surprised he didn't catch that ball.
Ike Taylor is like me or you trying to catch a football. Like, it was just.
Oh, no. He's definitely better than me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We're close, baby.
He caught an interception in the Super Bowl. He's definitely better than me.
I know, man. It's like you look back on some stuff like that. Somebody was actually on one of these call-ins on one of the post-game shows. I listened to both of them. I flipped back and forth on my ride home, and somebody actually called in and was asking about a comparison between Deshae Townsend and Mike Hilton. And I was like, that's one I hadn't really thought about. It was like the light bulb
went off. I
heard that
too, yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. And Charlie Batch kind of agreed with that. So I don't know. I don't know that I have anything else to close out the offense. I was kind of disappointed in not seeing Vance McDonald do a whole lot. The tight ends caught a total of three passes here. So, oh no, four, because Xavier Grimble was also involved. He had a catch as well.
Yeah, X-Man got one. Yeah.
Juju, a little more quiet, 4 for 34, but had the touchdown. I think he had a baby football for his celebration, a little kind of bizarre in a way, but I liked Antonio Brown. They did like a little dance, and then Juju was on the ground. He like picked him up and he like jumped in the air like he was like, I don't know, like a Peter Pan or something. Like, what's the lady that does the real live action Peter Pan thing from back in the day? Was it Mary Lou Retton or whatever? That's what he looked like something like that. I kept replaying the video. I was cracking up. It just had me cracking up. That'll be in the WTF, I bet, with Terry. Hey, you actually saw Stephen Ridley out there for a minute or two, and Josh Dobbs, he took a knee.
Got to take a snap. He got to take a snap. Came out to close the game out. Look, I tweeted this towards the end of the game. When it's the fourth quarter and Matt Ryan is on the bench and Matt Schaub is in there trying to catch up, that tells you all you need to know about the kind of game that occurred. You know, it is a situation where the defense, for once so far this year, they imposed their will on the other side of the team. And this is a good offense. Let's not forget, Julio Jones had essentially no catches in the first half. What did he end up with?
Almost through the third quarter, I want to say he may not have had any.
Five catches.
He had like one maybe in the third quarter and then the rest there. And he was shut down by Joe Hayden. And it was kind of funny because we had gotten some type of tweet or comment or message through the website or something about somebody calling Joe Hayden washed up. And I was listening to these fantasy I listen to these fantasy football radio shows too. This is where they pick up on it. They said up there in years or twilight of his career, Joe Hayden, the Falcons should just light these guys up. I'm like, twilight of his career? Isn't he like 27 or 28 years old? Like, he's not ancient by any means. It just kind of really irked me. And, you know, we were expecting a little bit more. We said these teams were both kind of similar. And in that aspect, the Steelers, they didn't turn into a pumpkin. They got everything going. And the Atlanta Falcons are still trying to search for their identity to our benefit. They were pretty bad throughout the whole day. Calvin Ridley was like coming in on a tear too.
He caught four
passes for 38 yards. The only guy who did anything was Mohamed Sanu, who I believe they caught Sean Davis sneaking down a little too far from his safety post, because a lot of times, man, they had both of those guys kind of sinking deep there. They weren't leaving like Terrell Edmonds out on an island at this time. So, you know, the Atlanta offense, they just, in running the football, they didn't do much of anything with that either. And you want to know what else you want to talk about with defense? They were tackling. That's why I wanted to bring up Edmonds. He had a nice open field tackle, which held a possible third down conversion and forced, I believe, Atlanta to punt at that point. So it was just, that was a thing of beauty. I'm trying to remember where in the game that it happened, but I remember when I saw it, I said, you know what? That's what really alerted me to the fact of, hey, these guys are actually making the tackles and getting the stops where they should be.
Yeah, I don't know who it was. It might have been TJ Watt. Somebody was interviewed and said that they were playing, their goal in this game was to play great team football, to be great teammates. And what it meant was, I'm going to do my job and trust that the other 11 guys are going to do their jobs. You know, the other 10 guys are going to do their jobs, because if you just do your job and stop worrying about trying to do more than your job, you'll do all right. And that gets back to basics, and that helps them tackle more because they're not over pursuing. They're not trying to get, they're not playing in a out of control fashion. They were much better. Were they perfect? No, by no stretch in the imagination on either side of the ball were they perfect, but it was a much better game than we're used to. And I want to how fans often get, right? Where it's all up or it's all down. So for the last couple of weeks, it's all been a nightmare and a giant miasma of pain and suffering. Now it's going to be, oh, we're definitely back. We're going to the Super Bowl. Everything is great. I'm not ready to go there yet, but this was a good good start. It's going to be really, really important to carry this into next week. And this is how they will beat a stupid Bengals team that stupidly came back and stupidly beat the Dolphins, and I hate them. But this is how they'll do it. If they can get to Andy Dalton and keep pressure on him, I know that they – it's the same thing. They need to play this kind of team defense next week.
Same setup. I'm still not sold that the Bengals have a, what do you want to say, adequate offensive line there. It's not as bad as last year. They tried to make some repairs to it. We'll be covering that in a preview. I mean, AJ Green, much like Julio, we're going to expect Joe Hayden to follow him around. You know, Tyler Boyd and John Ross and these other guys, much the same way as a Kelvin Ridley or Mohamed Sanu or any of these players. Same with the backs. They have the two-headed monster, Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Could be the same. Depends on how banged up they are. It was the Joe Mixon show today against the Dolphins because Gio Bernard was out, but they have like very, very similar, except their defense should be a lot stronger. They'll have, you know, who, Vontaze Burfict back on that too. So I think this was a good showing for the Steelers, a good test. Do I think there's going to be 41 points on the Bengals? Bengals been putting up points too, so that'll be interesting. But it is very, I got to say, I think that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are better than Andy Dalton and AJ Green. Julio probably gets a small edge over AJ. I'm not anywhere near putting Andy Dalton, you know, I don't necessarily going to say that Matt Ryan's one of the top guys in the league, but Andy Dalton's he's probably safe to put him there.
Maybe even top six.
I'm not going to go through that today. But anyway,
I'm just saying,
you get my
former MVP.
Yeah, true. And Andy Dalton is the guy who throws the ball away on fourth down when you need to get
the extra
yards. So that's what you look at. When you look at this defense, you look at Vince Williams not being in the game. You see the impact that Mike Hilton had making a return. And then the big tweak was all of the substitutions that happened. Tyler Matakevich actually got the start in Vince Williams' spot. I thought, for being not maybe the most athletic guy on the field, he seemed to be everywhere he needed to be. His instincts were pretty strong.
Almost.
For the most part, from what I could tell.
He got made look really bad one play when he was covering Ridley.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Consider what we just said.
He shouldn't be covering Calvin Ridley. There's just no question about that. But that's going to happen, and Ryan found the mismatch. So, you know, you hope that those get disguised. Look, L.J. Fort played really well. I thought Matakevich played well enough. You know, they did a good job of getting things in order for this game. They had a great plan. Whatever their game plan really was, they executed it very well. And I wanted to say that's – I think the big key to me is execution. While the offense was still trying to get its footing at times in this game, once they did, it was fine. But the defense held them in this game early on. And once the offense came to life, it was all over. Once these guys – and you can see the type of team this can be if they can consistently execute on what they know how to do. They have the talent to be a great team.
They could have had a little more if Ben wasn't trying to throw to, I don't know who he thought was. I thought he was searching for Dikembe Mutombo or one of these tall NBA centers.
Dikembe A.B. Mutombo.
Not in this house.
He grew 12 feet, yeah.
Oh, Groot would be a good one.
Groot would be a good one, yeah.
He could have got the ball, maybe.
I got to give one more grown-ass man award, though, to Rosie Nix.
I was going to the special teams, man.
Yeah.
With the exception to Boswell missing a PAT. I mean, it's still grading. I thought, yeah. I mean, Rosie Nix, obviously. I mean, these guys have been knocking on the door, all of them. How about that for a block punt? That was awesome.
That was great. And Jordan Berry, look.
Yes.
You know, we didn't think Jordan Berry punted bad in the Ravens game, but man, that punt that landed on what, the 2-yard line or whatever that pinned them back. What a kick! What a great, you know, backspin or whatever weird hocus pocus these punters managed to do to get the ball to pop that way. But that was, I mean, Jordan Berry had a nice punt. It was funny to me because in the pregame, you know, the Fox guys were, I think, Howie and Bradshaw, Terry's namesake. Ha ha. Sorry, Terry.
Not sorry.
Both of them predicted that nobody would punt in this game. Bradshaw said the Falcons would never punt. Ha, you're wrong, Bradshaw. And, you know, I think Howie said that the Steelers would never punt, and he was wrong too. But I think the Falcons punted a few more times.
Yeah, they did. Trying to go through this and find the exact – here it was. It was just before the 2-minute warning, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, Atlanta's on their 19 – I'm like, Steelers got it. Come on, Ryan Switzer. Let's get this ball over midfield if we can, buddy. And what did he do? This just total heads-up play where he knows the ball's kind of there.
Yeah.
And he knows that the Falcons, who was this? I have the name here. I don't know his first name. It just says R. Gage. He just runs into him. He lets him run right into him. He gets to the spot where he's thinking he's going to catch this ball, and he gets a 15-yard kicker or kick-catch interference penalty, which was just brilliant. I don't know if anybody else would do that. I can't even imagine, like, thinking about that, because it wasn't necessarily the greatest punt, but it had some hang time, and they were just like these Falcons guys. There was more than one there, but Gage is the one who got tagged with this to this penalty, and it was just that was like a really heads up play. It was almost like diving on a grenade, pretty much. So, speaking of diving on grenades, Ben Roethlisberger. This is the way, like, with the interception, that's how this drive ended up ending. But Ben Roethlisberger running the football, like
8 yard average.
My goodness. Well, we didn't even talk about Connor. What do you have, like 5.2 or something like that?
5.2, yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, Ben 8 average, 2 for 16. Connor 5.2, not too bad. Ridley, I didn't even realize Ridley actually carried the ball 5 times, which was kind of interesting. I saw him come in once or like twice, but kudos. Like, most people don't realize it was 84, 85 degrees outside, which is unseasonably warm Pittsburgh weather for this is still the first weekend of October. Technically, it wasn't the last game, September 30th or something like that. So.
Yeah.
But the real feel on the Weather Channel thing, when you're looking at it, it was 91 degrees. When you got that sun beating down on you, I mean, I got a little bit of sunburn myself, even though I had some sunblock on. You can imagine these guys being out on the field. And there's got to be some kudos, because at first I'm like, oh my, they already took Dupree out for Chickalo, and Cam Hayward's on the sideline. Is there something wrong with Cam? And then all of a sudden Watt goes over there. They had a game plan that they were going to rotate bodies and keep them fresh, keep them hydrated, keep them cool, whatever it took. And that appeared to work. Yes, please. Yes, sir. I will have another if you would like to try and do that again, maybe down in Cincinnati in another week. I got to give a tip of the cap there if that was part of Keith Butler's plan. Whoever thought of this, Carl Dunbar with the guys up front, the linebackers coaches with Joey Porter and Jerry O. Even Matakevich. Now, I think Matakevich and L.J. Fort was more of a passing down type situation. We're going to put L.J. Fort out there. And I got to eat a lot of crow on L.J. Fort. Now, I said he could have had like one of the career-defining plays in the playoffs against Jacksonville and just missed by fingertips. And then I thought that he was maybe not going to make this team this year. And he looks like he belongs. Not only special teams, looks like he belongs on defense. I will eat my words on that. Matthew Thomas, not his alter ego Michael, as I have gotten wrong so many times. I even said it during the game, and I'm like, I still got the Buckeye on the brain. Sorry, folks, an Ohio State fan. I mean, Michael Thomas, it's one of those bad things. I will kick this habit starting now. Matthew Thomas finally got in the game, but towards the end, and he hit the hole so fast that ball had to come out. I'm not sure if Schaub was in by that point. It was pretty late in the fourth quarter. But it was just like, wow, what did I just see? It looked like the Flash. But we didn't get to see any other flashes other than that. He had like one tackle, I think, in coverage, and that was about it.
Yeah, it was like I can't emphasize enough how much people who wanted to complain that they hadn't been prepared for other games need to give it up for the fact that they were prepared for this game. You know, if you're gonna complain when they don't look like they're in sync, and you got to give it up when they are. And the coaching staff needs a lot of credit for this. But I got one final question about the coaching staff. And you may not have seen this, but many people did, and it may have gone viral at this point. How many pieces of chewing gum was Danny Smith chawing on in his moment of camera time? Because it was a lot of gum.
Yes, it was. I think it was right after the blocked punt. And to steal once again. I will borrow this once again. This was Stan Saverin, I think, or it might have been Charlie Batch. I can't remember. They had the one post game show, I think the DVE post game show. And I first heard about it, and then I saw it, of course, looking through some of the highlights and replaying some stuff. And they said he looked like Popeye. And it was like, when I actually got to see it, I was like, that was perfect. So, 41-17 now. The thing is like, okay, I got to pump my brakes because I got to see them do this again.
Yeah.
And it's always like the thing that, but it's definitely, it's a glimmer of hope. It's a light at the end of that tunnel of telling everybody don't panic right away. AFC North Division football, a lot of it coming up, so they're going to have to go to Cincinnati, then they get a bye, then they bring Cleveland back in at home, and then go to Baltimore. I mean, it's like, you know, three in a row or whatever. I mean, this is all going to get sorted out rather quickly, and then they only have Cincinnati at the very end of the season. But you take a look at some of the things, and, you know, I ragged on Baltimore a little bit, but they have a it's almost all the same common opponents with the exception of the Buffalo Bills, and then they got to go play the Tennessee Titans, and I do believe that is a road game next week. I'm going to pull that up in a second. But, you know, like Baltimore, they got to go travel to Tennessee, who's 3-2, and they lost to Buffalo, so you never know what's going on in the NFL from week to week. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. I mean, hold on a second. Isaiah Crowell with the New York Jets set a franchise record of rushing yards on the Denver Broncos defense. I mean, we all knew that was coming. So, I mean, you have these kind of crazy things, and it's hard to say, well, this team did this with this team, and this team did that with that team, and then therefore it should shake out kind of like this. Not necessarily, but I do think that Baltimore had a little bit of an easy ride. Seeing the Jets just pummel on the Denver Broncos, I thought the Broncos kind of blew the game against the Ravens. I thought we would have had a better chance against them. I know I'm still talking about Baltimore, but more or less the reason I'm saying this is that when you look at these standings, it's anyone's ball game. It's only 5 weeks into the season. There's a lot of football left to be played. We were trying to say that still got to be patient. We want to see some more of this same success against the Cincinnati Bengals. Then they get the rest up into the bye week, and then we see where we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, we said this in the pregame podcast, and I'm going to say it again. The next three games are going to help to define the Steelers' season because they're three AFC North games, and it almost finishes out their AFC North schedule other than, like you said, that last game against Cincinnati, the last game of the year. But if they don't manage to come out – because I'll now say 2-1. They got to win two out of those three games. Ideally, they should win them all, but they got to win the two out of those three games. If they don't, they put themselves in a really tough position, especially if the loss is next week in Cincinnati.
Yeah, 0-1-1 in the division so far. So we're going to be talking about that upcoming game against the Bengals, who currently lead the AFC North with a 4-1 record. And you've got the Baltimore Ravens, of course, as we said, dropping to the Cleveland Browns. I just love it because all the people that were talking smack, you know, the Ravens beat us on Sunday Night Football, blah, 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 blah. You know, Pittsburgh, it's always the same story, it seems like, Brian. You don't want to, like, say the writing is on the wall for a few of these teams like the Steelers or even, you know, throw up in my mouth a little bit, but the New England Patriots, because they always seem – these teams seem to always – figure it out, and it's like, you know, a lot of the same players and whatnot when you get into the postseason type stuff. But it could be worse. It could be far worse. Only two wins so far, right? You need to start stacking some of these, but at least it's not 2-3, that stupid tie that's not a win and not a loss. It's still bothering me. It's still on that thing, and it's just bugs
well,
me.
And this is the flip side of all of our joy at this win is this is still the last place Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North because they're last. They are in last place right now because Cleveland beat Baltimore and happened to be the owners of a 1-0-1 record in the division. So by division, you know, by the division records, the Steelers now are in last place. So even though it's a great win, they got their work cut out for them in the next 3 weeks.
not only that, the Steelers playing a lot of the NFC South opponents right out the gate too. So when you look at their conference record, they're 0-2 on count of losing to the Chiefs and then the Ravens. So that does and 0-2-1, I should say, because of the Cleveland Browns deal. So they got two wins against the NFC South so far. They could probably win that division statistically. So everything like that kind of looks like it looks bad on paper. But trust me, this stuff starts to get it starts to sort itself out, and they're going to be working on that over the next three games. So instead of saying that again for like maybe the third time and telling everybody to relax, we're just going to tell everyone, thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing, and thank you, Brian, for joining me once again.
Absolutely. Look forward to a very exciting next week, and I'm not looking forward to the bye, I got to tell you, but it's always a pleasure.
I'm looking forward to the bye. Maybe I can like take a rest from speaking with you, and then
very nice. I'm calling the professor.
giving me a break. So now that would be a lot of fun. That's going to be a lot of fun for sure. So, anyways, folks, inside jokes aside, my name's Joe. His name's Brian. Until next time, be safe, be good. We'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.